Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Welcome back to another Head of the Pack. Couple more for you until we take a little break this offseason before the NFL Combine. It is Sunday afternoon, and the divisional games are being played today. This is the last two of the four. And obviously, as everyone listening to this knows, the Packers are not playing in the divisional round for the first time in 4 years. So here we are left to talk about what Aaron Rodgers is going to do next a couple weeks before we have in the past. I know we've touched on it before, but we're going to get into our official predictions on what happens, react to maybe some of the things he said on Pat McAfee last week. And he's going on again on Tuesday, so we'll see if there's any more news out of that. Then we have a conversation that I had with Joel Corey, former NFL agent, writer for CBS Sports, who breaks down eloquently and for all of you to understand the financial aspect of this whole scenario, the cap ramifications if Rodgers stays, retires, gets traded, all that good stuff. That'll be coming up at the end of the episode after Bill and I chew your ear off. So if you want to listen to that, you can fast forward. If you want to listen to the whole 30 minutes here, stay with us. So we'll get into official predictions first. I'll start with you, Bill. What does Aaron Rodgers end up doing?
He's not going to be back. I think that was my prediction here last episode. It was my prediction in Rob Domofsky's office up at Lambeau Field. He's not coming back. I think if there's ever a time to do it, and I know you and Joel are going to get into the finances of it, but financially, there's never a good time to do it. But this is the least worst time, Matt. Would that be a fair way to put it? The least worst time to trade him?
Yeah.
But I think there's enough. Never mind the playing field stuff. I think there's enough people who are ready for a change that the franchise can make a trade without just getting skewered by so many of the fans. It's like they've gotten cover. You know, between, I think Rodgers lost some people with COVID. He's lost people with big game performances. He's lost people with how he played this season. I think there's enough things in alignment here that they can move on without getting absolutely lambasted by 90% of the fans.
Yeah, I think there are two things at play here. I think there's the question of what the Packers will do and what they should do. I think what the Packers should do is trade him. Because as I get into with Joel, the longer he stays on the team, the worse it gets for the cap. So for cap purposes. And I know you, I understand that it's not as easy as, oh, this is better for our cap. Let's do it. Because if it was that easy, you'd cut all your best players just so you have cap space. Like, you don't do that. But listen, I think Aaron Rodgers can still be an elite quarterback. This has nothing to do with his level of play. I think he gives them the best chance to win a Super Bowl right now. But even that level of Aaron Rodgers, we've seen two out of the last 3 years, hasn't gotten the Packers to a Super Bowl. So is it time to just keep running it back and hope that does it, or look a little toward the future, see what you have in Jordan Love before you spoil that relationship? Any requests to trade if you bring Rodgers back? And also get something in return for Rodgers, use that to build around Love, and maybe try a different formula to winning this thing. I think they should trade him. What I think they will do is keep him. I think he'll be back. I don't think Aaron Rodgers retires, and I think the Packers are so desperate to take advantage of this, however long it is, two more years with Rodgers, to win a Super Bowl, because I think they also believe he gives them the best chance to win a Super Bowl right now. and maybe they're blinded by his skill level and think, you know what, as long as we have him, we can win a Super Bowl. And maybe they're right. Maybe they do. But I don't think that's a realistic thought right now. So I would trade him, but I think they're going to bring him back and try and, you know, run it back per se with him at quarterback.
Yeah, the Jordan Love thing is interesting, and I'm glad you brought that up. He's not if I'm Jordan Love's agent, or if I'm not his agent, if I'm Jordan Love, there's no way I'm coming back. If Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, there's no way I'm coming back next year. I'm going to force my way out of Dodge because they're screwing with his future, not just playing wise, but his ability to go make money. Right? Mm-hmm. You can't be a backup for 4 years. So he's got to get out of here. So now you're back to square one. So if they think that Love, never mind a great player, if they think Jordan Love is a quarterback that you're going to be competitive with, it's time to turn the page. I mean, they drafted the kid in 2020 for a reason. It's time to move forward. Now, if they think Jordan Love stinks, it's a whole other discussion. But they can't in good conscience bring the guy back. Because so what? You can do the fifth-year option. Sure, fine. What if Rodgers wants to come back in 2024? Now you've just totally... So now you've got Rodgers with a cap number of $8 gazillion in 2024 and Jordan Love under the fifth-year option. Good luck building a team around that. Mm-hmm. And then there's just... If I'm Love, there's just no way I'm ever going to sign a contract with these guys. You just strung me along for year after year after year. I got to get out of here. So then I think if they think he's any chance of being a decent starting quarterback at all, I think you've got to make the change. And I think you've got to go with Jordan Love and sink or swim with him. Otherwise, you're going to have a 2020 first-round draft pick and gotten really nothing accomplished with it. Just basically throwing a draft pick in the garbage can.
I agree. I think if Rodgers comes back, I think Love is well within his right and should request a trade. Now, do the Packers grant that request? Sure, the common sense thing is to say they owe it to him. But this is a business. And what if Brian Gutekunst says, well, we're going to exercise his option. And then either if we want to move on from Rodgers after this year, or he decides to retire after this year, we still have Jordan Love under contract. So we're not going to trade him. But then you kind of put yourself in a pickle, because what if Rodgers leads you to a Super Bowl? And he wants to play again, then what do? You don't just give the reins to Love. And like you said, then you have two massive quarterback contracts on the same team, and you can't have that. So they're in a fascinating situation because, and like I've said before, the Packers aren't owed anything by Jordan Love. Jordan Love is not owed anything by Aaron Rodgers. So like if the Packers exercise Jordan Love's fifth-year option and Rodgers goes out and wins MVP again, he doesn't have to say, oh, well, you guys want Jordan to start, I'll just retire or I'll go play somewhere else. If Rodgers wants to play for the Packers, he's going to play for the Packers. So they're in a very tricky situation. That's why I wrote, and I don't know how realistic this is, because as Joel gets into, the money gets worse the longer Rodgers plays. Do they say if Rodgers in the next 2 months goes to the Packers and says, I want to play this year, do they say we need a 2-year commitment from you? Because we need to know whether we need to trade Jordan and look for a quarterback in this year's draft or next year's draft. Or if you're only committing to one more year, we want to exercise the option. So I'm wondering if Brian Gutekunst gives Rodgers an ultimatum, because I find it hard to believe that, given the point they're at financially and with Love, that the Packers are comfortable just doing this year by year thing with Rodgers again, being like, we'll see what he is feeling after the season. I think they need to have a dead set answer this year. Is this your last year, or are you going to be here for more than one more year? Does that make sense?
It makes sense. As much as Rodgers seems to value taking this time away to sort through things, does it make sense from his perspective? I mean, if he can't figure out at this very second if he can play for 2023, how's he going to decide at this very second if he can play for 23 and 24?
Right. No, I'm saying from the Packers' perspective, Rodgers should do whatever he wants.
Right. So from his perspective, no, I don't think he can do that. And if he can't, yeah, you make a great point, man. If he can't be aboard here for 2 years, yeah, I would say you have to make the move there. At some point you got to move on. Whether it's Jordan Love or move on as in Rodgers is your quarterback from now, but we're going to go draft Jordan Love 2.0 here this year, right?
Well, that's the thing. Like, if Love is traded, let's say Rodgers says, I'll play one more year and then they trade Love, or I'll play two more years and they also trade Love. Do they then, you know, maybe try and trade up in the draft this year to take a quarterback in the first round? It's possible. Or do they use that number 15 pick on a quarterback?
Right.
Granted, so, he won't have 3 years, you know, learning under Rodgers, but let's say he has 2 years learning under Rodgers or 1 year learning under Rodgers. I would be fascinated. I think the biggest question here is, if Rodgers comes back and Jordan Love requests a trade, do the Packers grant it? Do they say, you know what? You have earned the right to start. We'll trade you. Because guess what? He'll probably hold out if they don't trade him. And then they have a salary on the books for someone who's not playing. But at the same time, I think it was a Cheesehead TV article. Jordan Love doesn't have any leverage. Like, it's not like he's an Aaron Rodgers where he has the upper hand on the organization. Sure, he's the backup quarterback, but what has he done to, I don't want to say earn the right, and maybe he's impressed the Packers behind closed doors and on the practice field and all that, but are the Packers really going to be pressured as much as maybe they were with Aaron Rodgers when he requested a trade? I would find that hard to believe.
Well, that's true. I think it's fair, other than Jordan Love's agency is one of the biggest in sports, and is that going to hurt you down the line? If you screw over Love here, does his agent say to future negotiations, no, you guys, I don't think you're a good organization. You screwed over my guy before. We're not going to talk turkey with Joe free agent. Probably not, but maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, agents run baseball. I think that's part of it. I think maybe they could come into play here too, where you screw over Jordan Love, you might screw over the next athlete's first guy, and you might not have him either. So, I don't know. Interesting point. You know, and you talk about drafting the quarterback. Rodgers wants to come back to win a championship. Drafting a quarterback at number 15 ain't going to get that done. Just like it didn't get it done in 2020.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're not hurting. You're not helping. You're not opening that championship window whatsoever by drafting the quarterback of the future, who again is not going to play.
Now, and one more thing that I want to touch on before we pass it over to myself and Joel is, Rodgers said on McAfee, you know, he wants to finish his career with Mercedes Lewis, Randall Cobb. He wants to be in the same locker room as Alan Lazard and Robert Tonyan. I think part of that is him trying to put the pressure on the Packers front office. Because listen, people can say, oh, Rodgers is delusional. He just wants to play with his friends. But he knows what helps a team win.
Right.
All of those guys provide different value. Granted, they're not like the best offensive players, but Tonyan has great hands. He's a good security blanket at tight end, even though he didn't have the best year this year, or most productive year, I should say. Alan Lazard is a really good role player, albeit not a wide receiver one. Mercedes Lewis, one of the best at what he does. Randall Cobb, great on third down. Like, and they're all important in the locker room. So I understand Rodgers wanting them back and putting the pressure on, but I think even he knows it would be unrealistic and perhaps foolish to say, I'm only playing with the Packers, or I'm only playing anywhere if I'm playing with these guys. Because if you're saying I'm only playing with your best chance to play with as many of those guys as possible is staying with the Packers. Because if you go to the New York Jets and get traded, they're not signing those guys, most likely. So that's why I think part of Rodgers saying that is trying to put the pressure on the Packers a little bit. And maybe they give him Mercedes Lewis because he wants to set the record for most seasons played by a tight end. Maybe they give him, you know, Cobb for pennies on the dollar. and Lazard comes back for cheap, but I don't see the Packers being like, all right, we need all these guys. Oh, and Bakhtiari, I think Bakhtiari will be back regardless, but I don't see the Packers, you know, getting down on one knee and basically saying, all right, here's all your guys. I think there will be some sort of compromise. And this is just Rodgers' way of trying to get them to bring as many of them back as possible. But he knows that that's unrealistic to say, I'm not playing if all these guys aren't here.
Yeah,
but it's a good negotiating tactic by him.
Right. You know, what he told McAfee and he said, you know, a couple of years ago, he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. And I think to him, if you're going without Mercedes Lewis and these veteran guys, that is a rebuild. Because there's no replacing Mercedes Lewis and what he does, right? I mean, and so on down the line. So I think that to him is a rebuild. If you're going to replace proven veteran guys, proven role players with more Joe rookie players who haven't proven that they can do it. So I think that's probably where he's coming at. And no, I understand that he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. And then he's not going to be. I think that'd probably be a two-way street, right? If you're going to rebuild, you might as well rebuild with Jordan Love if you're the Packers. And Rodgers isn't going to be part of a rebuild because he wants to win. Contrary to what Up and Adams said and Pro Football Talk, everybody said that Rodgers is in it for MVPs. No, Rodgers is in it to win a championship. And if you're not going to bring back proven guys, I think he's probably correct to read into it that you're not trying to win a championship. And the challenge is the salary cap, bringing all those guys back. And that's the tricky compromises that they're going to have to work out, where can you bring back enough of these guys under the salary cap, or is it just not doable and you're going to have to reboot it a little bit? And does Rodgers want to be part of that?
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think the rebuild comment, people are saying, oh, he's saying the Packers are going to rebuild, or if anyone's saying that, I think that is a two-pronged, if that's the right way to put it, comment by him. A, he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild because he wants to win a championship. And B, it's just a fact that, you know, if the Packers are rebuilding, Rodgers won't be there, because if they have Rodgers, they're not rebuilding. So he's stating it as both a personal like desire to, I don't want to be part of a rebuild and I will not be part of a rebuild. Basically being like, that's just a matter of fact. Any team that's rebuilding will not have me as part of their team because he's Aaron Rodgers, which is a fair point.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot. I wonder what they can get for him.
You know, Joel mentioned, and you'll hear him talk about it, a day two pick this year and then a conditional first round pick in 2024.
Okay.
To basically say, if he keeps playing in 2024, here's a first round pick. But another team isn't going to give up a first-round pick if Rodgers retires. First-round pick in 2024 if Rodgers retires after this year, because they're going to need that first-round pick to draft their next quarterback.
Right.
So I'll be interested to see maybe a player like – who could he go to? The Jets?
Jets, yeah.
There are a couple other teams out there, 49ers. But
Raiders.
There are a bunch of teams that need quarterbacks, but – you know, the Jets, I think he respects Robert Saleh for the defense he ran in San Francisco. And obviously the Jets defense dominated the Packers this year. And then also if Robert Saleh hires Nathaniel Hackett, I think we could see whether or not the Broncos did hire Nathaniel Hackett thinking they would get Rodgers. I think you could see something like the Jets hiring Nathaniel Hackett. As not maybe they hire him regardless, but I could see something being, you know, in place actually. Like, if we hire you, Rodgers is coming here. Trade talks have to materialize, and then they say, okay, we're getting Rodgers. Guess what? We're also getting Hackett. Or there's, you get what I'm saying. I think there will be some sort of agreement. If that happens, I would not be surprised.
But, yeah, then he knows the offense, right?
Yeah.
That'd be huge to come in and knowing the offense. And look, the Jets are damn good, aren't they?
Almost everywhere.
The defense is legit. The receiver is good. The running backs are good. That's a really good football team.
Offensive line, not great. Packers have a better offensive line. But listen, I ultimately think Rodgers wants to finish his career in Green Bay. The only way I could see him wanting to play elsewhere is if he feels wronged by the front office. which is why he wanted to play elsewhere a couple of years ago. Now, if he wants to play elsewhere, I don't think it would be with the same, you know, I don't want to say malice, but same contentment toward the Packers front office as it was a couple of years ago, because he didn't understand why they weren't, you know, taking his input on things and why they drafted Jordan Love. He understands that they need to maybe move on from him and go to Jordan just based on the timeline. Then again, he also knows if Jordan Love's any good or not. So maybe he's scoffing at that fact and being like, you just want to move on to Jordan because it's supposedly time to. He's not even good. Screw you guys. I'm going to go somewhere else and win. But if it's, oh, Jordan's really good. He gives you a chance. Financially, I see why it makes sense. Okay, I want to play elsewhere, but we're ending on good terms. So it'll all come out eventually on McAfee. I'm assuming, unless Rodgers wants to invite one of us to his house in Malibu and sit down with him when he makes his decision, which I don't.
Probably McAfee, though.
Huh?
probably McAfee, yeah, though.
And that's okay. I'm not complaining about that. I think, you know, what they've done is great. I'm a fan of the show. We all are, but yeah, we'll see what happens. And here's the last thing. When do you think the decision is made by? I know last year it was March 8th, which is after the combine, obviously. But don't you think part of this not holding the organization hostage, and I understand he said the same thing last year, but if he's going to keep playing and they're going to trade Love, or even if he retires and they keep Love, or even if he gets traded and they keep Love, he knows that the Packers are going to want to scout quarterbacks at the combine. So do they devote more of their scouting resources to quarterbacks if they know Rodgers' decision, or do they do the same thing scouting quarterbacks at the combine, even if they don't have his decision? I would think maybe they're inclined to say, okay, let's send a couple more people over to the quarterback workout in Indy, since we know Rodgers isn't going to be here, or since we know he's going to be here and we need to look for his successor again. So I wouldn't be surprised if that decision comes within the next month, because, you know, I'm flying to Indy February 26th. Today's Sunday, January 22nd. So I don't know. I mean, obviously it's anyone's guess what Rodgers does. Even he doesn't know when he'll make his decision, but I wouldn't be surprised if that decision's before the combine this year instead of after it.
Yeah, that makes some sense there, Matt. Yeah, I don't think he's going to drag his feet here. Look, and it's going to be like last. I mean, they got a lot of work to do, right? I mean, whether you know they're bringing these guys back or whatever they are. According to overthecap.com, they're about $20 million over the cap right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work to get done, especially. That's not including, obviously, it's not including Cobb. He's a free agent. Tonyan's a free agent. Lazard's a free agent. They got a lot of work to get done to clear up some cap space to sign any of those guys.
Correct. Another fascinating offseason ahead. So enjoy the last couple of weeks of quiet, because then we have combine, free agency, owners' meetings, the draft, and then minicamp before you know it. So, we appreciate you listening. Now we're going to toss it over to myself and Joel Corey. I think you guys will really enjoy this discussion. I know it's not in written form. Maybe that'll save you a headache, but hopefully what we talk about and all the financial ramifications of whatever decision Aaron Rodgers makes help you understand the situation better, because I know there have been a lot of questions about that. Enjoy. Here's myself and Joel Corey. Joel, I think the question everyone wants to know is, after does Aaron Rodgers even want to play, is how does whatever decision he makes impact the Packers financially? And on CBS Sports, you had a fantastic story. It might give some people a headache because of all the numbers in it, but agents take how Aaron...
writing it.
No, it was extremely informative. Listen, for someone who's not as well-versed in all the financials of it, like me, as you are, it's extremely informative, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners would appreciate it too. So check it out. Agents Take, how Aaron Rodgers' future decision affects the Packers' bottom line. One of the things I think people would like to know is, you write, you know, the Packers used one of the NFL's more complex contract structures with Rodgers. Just explain how they did that and kind of what it means for the immediate future when it comes to whatever decision Rodgers makes this offseason?
Yeah, most contracts have a signing bonus and maybe salary guarantees. The Packers typically don't do the salary guarantees except for Rodgers, but this time they did something that I've never seen them do. They did a signing bonus, then not only one option bonus, but a second option bonus. And option bonuses are prorated on the salary cap, just like signing bonus. And the presumption is that you're going to exercise the option. So even though Rodgers has a $58.3 million option with a long window for it to be exercised, normal window is like the first couple of days in the league year, like first to fifth day of the league year. This one is first day of the league year up until the day before the first regular season game. So the option technically isn't exercised yet. The presumption is it will be. So even though he's got $59.465 million guaranteed, that number's not sitting on the cap. The prorated amount of the option is sitting on the cap in his reduced base salary of $1.165 million plus previous bonus proration makes up his cap number for 2023.
So basically, Packers obviously won't exercise that or pay him that 58.3 unless they know he's going to be their quarterback for 2023. And I guess in layman's terms, that bigger window gives another team the option to exercise it before the start of the season in case he's traded whenever?
Yeah, they're not going to exercise it and then trade him, because if they exercise it, then trade him, then that $59.465 million is their obligation, and that would increase the dead money, which if he's not there this year, playing someplace else or retires, they're going to have to contend with a little over $40.3 million of dead money. They'll increase the dead money to almost $99.8 million. They're not going to do that. So, yes, the new team would step into Green Bay's shoes and have the same window to exercise the option. If you trade for him, you're going to exercise the option immediately. And if you trade for him, then their cap hit is going to be significantly less, because all they're going to have to deal with is the bonus proration from the option plus the base salary and his roster bonus. So that's something that they could really handle, a $15.79 million cap here for 2023 with the trade. Ideally for Green Bay, that the trade would be after June 1. Then you could split the $40.3 million of dead money into 2 years, basically 15.8 and 24.5. Would be the split between 23 and 2024. A team's going to want Aaron Rodgers before the draft, or as soon as possible.
Yeah.
You're not going to get 2023 draft capital if it's on the time frame which is best for Green Bay cap-wise. And also, it's a difficult trade unless from a draft capital standpoint, unless Rodgers is going to commit to 2 years, because I'm giving conditional picks based on how long he plays. If I'm the acquiring team, if it's on the normal timetable, March, April, maybe you give like a day two pick this year and then a conditional 2024 first round pick, where if he keeps playing, then that's the pick that Green Bay also gets. Mm-hmm. If it's for a trade after June 1, that's going to be a conditional 2024 pick. Because if he's done after 2023, then the compensation's got to be significantly less than if he's going to play 2 years.
So you touched on it a little bit. I just want to quickly go through the three options. Obviously, the, I guess, most ideal thing financially, because I do think if it's a trade, I think it happens before the draft, because that just makes the most logical sense, not financially,
yeah,
for the Packers.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that.
Right. So if he retires, I think something interesting you wrote was how they can, you know, modify it to help the Packers financially a little bit. So what happens with the Packers cap if he retires with the dead money? And why is that June 2nd an important date here, along with what they could possibly do to modify it to maybe help the Packers out if he stops playing?
First, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to retire.
Neither do I. Neither do I.
I'm close to $59.5 million of money fully guaranteed. I know he's marches to the beat of a different drummer or his own drummer.
Yeah.
But most people don't walk away from that type of money. He's made over $300 million from his NFL player contract, but still, that's a ton of money. I'm going to say one more thing about that. Andrew Brandt brought up something interesting that I've forgotten about. As you, some of you may know, Andrew Brandt used to be the guy who did the contracts for the Packers for a long time. And I think he was gone by the time they made the decision with Favre. But apparently they offered Favre $20 million to be an ambassador and to serve as a goodwill ambassador instead of going to the Jets. So maybe they, if Aaron's going to retire, they offer him some portion of the guaranteed money to be walking away from. But there is a way you can do it so it's more favorable from a cap standpoint, assuming he's willing to walk away from all that money. If you leave the contract is and you process the retirement when he announces it, you got $40.3 million in dead money this year. Now, what you can do is you take the option out of the contract, reduce his salary to league minimum, $1.165 million, you'd hold him on the roster until June 2nd. By doing it that way, you're immediately picking up $14.625 million of cap space when you get rid of the option bonus proration and from the books. And then you're going to have basically $17 million as a cap hit in 2023. And your dead money – that's what your cap hit's going to be right now. And then June 2nd, you process the retirement. The base salary comes off the books. Then you've got the 15-8 in dead money and basically 24-5 in 2024. So that if he's going to retire, which I don't think he will, that's how it would work. Sign a new contract to help the team out. That's happened in a couple of cases with other teams. Malcolm Jenkins did it last year with the Saints so they could get the cap room that they needed up until June 2nd by reducing his salary down to league minimum, and then they process the retirement. When you could split – when the bonus proration for future years would be delayed until the following league year instead of all hitting the cap in the current league year, which would be 2023 in this case.
I think something that has the Packers in a chokehold is they don't know how good Jordan Love is, even seeing him in practice every day. And I think they're desperate – this is just – me speaking, they're desperate to win a Super Bowl in this 3-year window they've created with Aaron Rodgers. But then you have Rodgers saying, oh, I don't know if they want me. And then he says, oh, I could play 1, 2, 3 more seasons. But as he keeps playing, the financials get worse for the Packers. And they kind of went all in with his contract. So what happens? We talk about retirement. We talk about the trade. What happens if he retires after this season? And that's why I don't know how realistic this is. But is there a world in which the Packers say, Aaron, if you're going to come back, we need you to commit for at least 2 more years? I don't think he would do that because he's such a year-to-year guy. But like, if he retires after this season, they're even more screwed.
Yeah, and I've never seen a contract work this way where if it goes on its own terms and you leave it alone, where you don't restructure and push cap obligations off until tomorrow – that the dead money increases. Let's say Aaron plays 2023, then they have to exercise the option. So not only do you go from having the proration from the roster bonus last year, you now have the option bonus proration. There's now two sets of proration. You got $58.3 million, which gets prorated 2023 through 2026. So the dead money, total dead money goes from 40.3 to 68.205 million if he plays one more year. It gets worse if he plays 2 years because there's a second option in this contract for 2024 they'd have to exercise if he's going to keep playing. Then you got a $47 million option, which gets prorated over 3 years. And you got three sets of proration. Your money's $76.8 million at that point. So there are no good options with this contract. From a cap standpoint, the best one is to part ways with Aaron Rodgers this year. He said a couple interesting things on that Pat McAfee show on Tuesday. I'm not giving him a bunch of flack about the – I can still win the MVP under the right circumstances. To me, that shows he wants to play. He also said later on, which didn't get picked up, that the only reason you play is if you have a Super Bowl chance to win.
Yeah.
So that shows that Super Bowls are important to him. But the troubling thing is when he's talking about he wants his core guys around.
Yeah.
Some of those guys are old. And there's only one under contract, David Bakhtiari. who's a walking injury at this point. We're talking about Mason Crosby, whose best days are way behind him, Mercedes Lewis, who's like almost Rodgers' age, Robert Tonyan, Alan Lazard are free. Randall Cobb took a huge pay cut this day. If he's playing GM and he got to have his guys, that's not necessarily the best thing for the Packers. But you're right. They're all in the window from restructuring a bunch of contracts last year to the way they structured this contract, that they really need him to commit to play 2 years. But at the same time, the dead money gets worse because your window is now, and your window closes if it's Jordan Love, because we don't know what he can do. Maybe he's the Aaron Rodgers part two. You knew what Rodgers could do, or there is some confidence that he could replace Favre. That same confidence does not exist with Jordan Love right now.
Right, exactly. And that's what makes this so difficult. So one last thing I wanted to touch on, because just for someone who maybe just goes to his over the cap or spot track page, and they're like, what are these 2025 and 2026 years? And they're not void years, correct?
No, they're real years for artificially low salaries. I suspect they were put in there just so you could if you did a 3-year contract, which is what everyone calls this, then you could only prorate the roster bonus he got last year. And a fully guaranteed roster bonus gets treated like signing bonus. You only prorated 3 years. So you need the 2025 and 2026 years there for the proration purposes. You could have made them voiding dummy years. But there's no way Aaron Rodgers is playing for $20.9 million in 2025 and $15.05 million in 2026. If he got traded, a sign that he's willing to continue to play longer would be if they renegotiated those salaries to something real that he could potentially play for.
So just lastly, best option cap-wise is for them to trade him. I don't think he's going to retire. I still think that fire burns inside him, as we saw from what he said on Tuesday. Best option cap-wise is to trade him, but that obviously puts you in the bind of you don't know what Jordan Love has. What do you think will actually happen? Combining the realistic financial possibilities with just the common sense of what the Packers should do.
He's a different guy, but I don't think he's going to retire. I thought that he would have asked to be traded last year as opposed to coming back, and that actually would have been the best move, but you can't get in a time machine and go back right to last March and trade him to Denver. 50-50 on staying put or traded. If he's going to push for his guys to come back, I think he's going to go elsewhere, and I don't think it's going to be the most favorable timing for Green Bay, because a team's going to want him before the draft, and you're going to have to deal with the $40.3 million of dead money, which means you're going to have an increase on your cap of $8.69 million this year, but he's off the books 2024 and beyond, and we'll see what Green Bay gets for him in draft compensation. Now, that being said, he'll shock all of us and just up and retire and give up almost $60 million guaranteed. He's that type of guy.
He is.
Most people would not do that.
He is not most people. That's what I've come to learn in my time covering him. But Joel, I can't thank you enough for breaking it down. Hopefully that made sense to everybody. Are we ever going to have an offseason without Aaron Rodgers being the main focus of the NFL? Who knows? But Joel, thanks so much. Appreciate you taking some time.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure.